Isn't that a great way to start our service this morning as we're thinking about prayer? Just that reminder that God is good. He's our good Father and he loves each one of us deeply. From the oldest to the youngest here on the screen, he deeply loves us. And that's the setting for this prayer as we have a look at that this morning. And we've got to the end of a bit of a marathon, haven't we? This amazing section of John that we've been looking at over the last few months. That's taken us through some key things that Jesus taught his disciples, his team talk, as he finished his ministry and prepared to go to the cross. So these words are really important for us, aren't they? And they really reflect Jesus' heart for his friends, his followers, and also his friends and followers to come. This passage makes really clear, and that's us today. At its simplest, this passage in John 17 just teaches us how important prayer is for us as individuals, but also for us as the church, as we come together. Because prayer was fundamental. It was part of Jesus. And we can really see that in the Gospels. Jesus' ministry was infused with prayer, wasn't it? He prayed frequently. He went off on his own to pray, particularly at times when he needed resources and he was tired. He prayed and taught his disciples how to pray. At key points in his ministry, he prayed. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. And that's a really good thing that we need to do, and we need to learn from that. Before we start and move into the passage, we're going to try and creatively have a look at the passage in three blocks, as Josie said, just to help us get a bit deeper into this. I'm going to try and do that in a slightly creative way this morning. But before we do that, you might want to have your Bible open and just use it as we move through the service this morning. And I just want to give you three pictures that you might want to think about when we think about prayer. So three images that might help us. And one of these might resonate with you this morning. You might want to hold on to it and take it into your week as something that will particularly help you as we think about this topic of prayer. And this first picture that I want to share with you is this idea of looking up, of reaching up. And we see that so much in the Bible, don't we? As people reached up to God in prayer. And Jesus is doing that here in John 17. In my quiet time this morning, I was reading one of the Psalms, and David did just this. And I thought, I'm going to read these verses because I found them really helpful. This is what he said in Psalm 143. He said, "Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief." So sometimes for us, prayer is this idea of reaching up, of looking up to God. And you might need to do that this morning. You might be in a situation where you just want to call out to God and ask for his help and his support. So that's the first image, this idea of reaching up. The second image that you might want to use is this idea of breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out. And I love this image of prayer. It's often talked about in Celtic faith, and it's this idea of breathing in the presence of God and his presence with us, acknowledging that God is with us at every moment of the day, whether we're awake or whether we're asleep, God is with us. And then breathing out, our responding, our action from prayer. And I like this image because it's this this important message that we have, that we can pray all the time. It's a prayerful way of living that can go into every part of our week, as we work, as we rest, as we spend time with family. It's there present for us to use. So that's the second image, the idea of breathing in and breathing out. And then the final picture I just want to share with you that is sometimes helpful when we think about prayer is this idea of standing in the gap, standing in the gap. And again, we see this a lot in the Bible as people pray, but Jesus is doing that now. He's praying for those that don't or can't or aren't able to pray for themselves. And he's praying for his friends. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for us. He's standing in the gap and praying for them. And you might want to do that this morning. You might have someone particularly on your heart that you need to stand in the gap for. You might have a country that's on your heart that you want to stand in the gap for. You might have somebody in our local village, in Beaconsfield, in Sea Green, that you want to stand in the gap for and pray. So hold on to those three images, the idea of reaching up, of breathing in and out, and then standing in the gap. And we're going to think about these kind of three ways of praying. We're going to think about the idea of up, of praying in and praying out. So up, in, out. I know your idea of, you've got this idea already and you've talked about it as a Christian community already, but we're going to use those as our sort of three ways of understanding this passage. So let's have a look at the first block that we're going to look at, and it's the whole idea of reaching up or praying up. And I'm going to ask Bill, I think, who's going to pray, who's going to read this first section for us. So it's over to Bill.
Thank you. John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. After Jesus finished saying this, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave him authority over all mankind, so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. And eternal life means knowing you, the only true God, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made."
That's great. Thank you, Bill. So glory, give glory to God, glory up to God. This is Jesus praying. Glory is an amazing word, isn't it? It gives this sense of awe, awesomeness, of light, of presence, of magnificence. And Jesus is praying glory, that he might give glory through his life, because God, our God, is a God who is worthy of praise, who is our glorious God. I love this part of the prayer. It's a really good reminder, as Jesus teaches us about prayer, about the importance of doing this first as we speak to God. It's there right at the beginning of this amazing chapter of praise, of worship. Jesus, who submitted his life to bring glory to his Father. Jesus, who spoke of God being the giver of eternal life, the true God, the one who initiates, who reaches out to us in grace and love. Our God, who is a God of history and of time, who created this amazing world that we're in. What a wonderful way to start our service. What a wonderful way to begin in prayer, to give praise and worship, to glorify our God. At the moment, I'm in the middle of an essay for college, an assignment, and I'm looking at children within the church. I'm really enjoying it. It's been a really good thing to think about and pray through. And there was a really interesting comment that was made by one of the writers that I found really challenging as I was reading yesterday. And it was this, that so often when children pray, they usually start by giving thanks and glorifying God. And yet as adults, we often start by asking. And that was quite thought-provoking for me, how we can learn from children. But here's Jesus modelling this for us. That as we start to pray, we begin with God at the centre and who he is. So it's great, it's good, and it's right to begin with glorifying God as we begin to pray. But then Jesus moves into the next section, doesn't he? Another way of praying as part of this chapter in John. He begins to pray in and to reflect and think about his heart for his friends, his disciples. And it's a really moving part of the passage, this, as you look at the content of what Jesus prays for these disciples. You get a real sense of how much he loved them and how much he cared for them. He really longs for them to be safe. He wants to protect them and care for them. But there's also a realism in there, isn't there? He understands what life is going to be like for them. He prays that they might grow, that they might find God in a new, fresh way. The idea of kind of spiritual wholeness is in there as well. And then that real challenge at the end that's there for all of us, this idea of being sanctified, of being changed, of being transformed to be like Jesus. It's an amazing prayer, and it comes from a deep heart of love that he has for his disciples. But as we read a little bit further on, which we're going to pick up in a minute, we realise that these prayers are for us too, because Jesus also prays for those, his friends, his disciples who are to come, and that's us. When I was reading this, it was a real good reminder for me, the fact that we are part of a universal church that stretches all the way back to Jesus' disciples and to Jesus himself. We have benefited from the faith and the service of thousands of other believers who have come before us and have shared this message of hope and love. That's something wonderful and something amazing to give thanks for. And just as Jesus prayed for his friends, we need all these things too. And he prayed those prayers for us as well. They're just as relevant. This passage is just as relevant for us as it was when he prayed for his disciples. So we're going to look now at the next part of the passage. We're going to pick up verses 6 to 19. And we're going to have a look at something a bit different this time. We're going to look at a video representation of this part of the passage.
I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word, and now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. I gave them the message that you gave me, and they received it. They know that it is true that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me, for they belong to you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and my glory is shown through them. And now I am coming to you. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. While I was with them, I kept them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me. I protected them, and not one of them was lost, except the man who was bound to be lost, so that the scripture might come true. And now I am coming to you, and I say these things in the world, so that they might have my joy in their hearts in all its fullness. I gave them your message, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but I do ask you to keep them safe from the evil one. Just as I do not belong to the world, they do not belong to the world. Dedicate them to yourself by means of the truth. Your word is truth. I sent them into the world just as you sent me into the world. And for their sake, I dedicate myself to you in order that they too...
So we thought about praying up and giving glory. We thought about praying in and that reflection, that intimacy. And now this last section is very much about how Jesus prayed out and prayed into the future. And so we're coming into this last section now of this passage. And to do that, we're going to go to the West Country. So another different way of listening to the Bible being read to us. This is this section. In fact, you can actually watch the whole passage if you want to. But this is a section that's been read by church communities down in the West Country during lockdown. And they put this passage together for us. And it's a great reflection of praying out this passage, but also just reflecting what the church is like. It's wonderful to see so many different faces and different ages and different people reading from this passage.
My prayer is not for them alone.
I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. that all of them may be one, Father.
Just as you are in me, and I am in you.
And may they be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me.
I have given them the glory that you gave me,
that they may be one as we are one.
I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity.
Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me.
Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory.
The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world.
Righteous Father, though the world does not know you,
I know you, and they know that you have sent me.
I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known,
in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
It's wonderful to see this last part of the passage read, isn't it, by so many different people that reflect the church. And this section here, particularly, Jesus is calling us to unity. That was his real heart as he prayed into the future of this community that was forming, that would become the church. And one of the great encouragements for me as I read this was just noticing this wonderful promise that Jesus has within this, that people will believe. And isn't that encouraging as he prays into the future, as he prays for the church, that people will believe and we can hold on to that promise as we seek to serve and bless our community around us. There's something really kind of deep again, isn't there, about this bit in the passage as Jesus prays for us and for the world. There's something that's about relationship, something about being united, and something about the fact that it's all drawn together and initiated in love. And that should be our foundation as we pray out, as we think about the world and the community that we live in. We want to pray that people will be able to see and encounter God for themselves. So this prayer also almost becomes like a commission, a kind of sending out for the disciples as Jesus gets to the end.